amazing? Good? Raise your hand if you can't hear me. Perfect. Everybody can hear. That's great. I'm so grateful to be here and so grateful to get a chance to talk about this gospel and celebrate this communion with you. This is Luke 12, the Gospel of Luke 12. This 12th chapter is all about learning how to travel in the kingdom of heaven, how to live in the kingdom of God. And if that's strange words for you, you can translate it to life with God. And so his disciples ask him over and over, what is life with God like? And Jesus basically says, use your imagination. This is a faith of imagination. We get it from the first reading from Abraham.
Who did the bee dance? Huh?
You know, I sprayed geranium from Thistle Farms on me, which bees love. Mosquitoes hate it, which is why you use it. But bees really want to kiss you. I shouldn't have said that if I'm trying to sell that up here, right? Anyway, he says, think about Abraham. Let's look at Abraham. Abraham does a whole covenant with God. With a city that can't be seen, with a family that can't be thought of, it's non-existent. He does a covenant in dreams and visions. He uses his imagination to build the faith communities of Christians, Jews, Muslims, all over the world. It's a faith of imagination. Isn't it beautiful in this lesson to the Hebrews? This city that can't be seen, I want you to imagine it, this fledgling new church. You have to imagine. They're writing in the epistles. Imagine that if we stay in fellowship and we break this bread, we are communing with God. We can count on the saints, the cloud of witness, to be with us so we can go out and further this kingdom, this life with God. So this is the place for imagination, is it not? Imagine. That's what it says, isn't it? Imagine. When hiking with my friends and I'm like, what does it mean to you to imagine this? To imagine. One of my friends said she thought of Van Gogh immediately. And how he can take something and see the purples and blues that no one else sees. Another friend said, really, when she thinks of imagination, she thinks of just quiet. Can I conjure up my own thought? You know, it's Ralph Waldo Emerson that says, every revolution begins with a single thought. It starts in someone's imagination. Another friend said when she thinks about imagination, she thinks about her children. The younger, the better. A child can be here and create a kingdom immediately. And run around and rule and dance and full of joy in a world that we cannot even see. What is imagination to you in this beautiful faith? Jesus says in this gospel over and over, we are living into our imagination. We live into this imagination. We can think of a million ways that it is like a lily in a field that becomes a symbol of the sacred. It is like a sparrow that becomes precious and beautiful. What is it that you imagine that can help you see this beautiful kingdom that you are a part of? Now, many of you know, and I talked a little bit last week, that 30 years ago, we opened up a house in Nashville, Tennessee that was called Thistle Farms. And we could imagine the thistles were great symbols for what we were getting ready to endure, the thistle that grows where anybody quits landscaping. And by the way, y'all have amazing thistle out here. It is so beautiful. Isn't that color of it is stunning. Everything is much better than it is in Tennessee, I think, but out here. But really, I just saw a thistle this morning and was like, that's the color of the kingdom. That's got to be. You know, and these thistles have this history of survival by brutality, but they have this deep taproot that survives drought, survives flood. It has this gracious purple center where even Solomon in his glory is not arrayed like one of these. And when I look at a thistle, I can imagine the kingdom where no one is excluded, where everything is beloved, where everything is used for healing. Thistles grow, you know, out of graveyards. They grow in wild fields. They grow through chain link fence around prisons. So we called it Thistle Farms, and we built residential homes, ended up starting a bath and body care company that's become the largest justice enterprise in the U.S., largest network for beds, long-term free beds for women survivors, started global enterprises and reaching out to women. Y'all know the church has done such a beautiful job really learning to deal and have conversations around human trafficking and what it looks like to have compassion and programs. We haven't done as well with women refugees. And honestly, human trafficking and refugees are inextricably linked, and we learn that. And most vulnerable women in the world lose all their identity in their countries, and they have to go find places. And so about 2016, we formalized that. We started working with the women in Syria. We went on to other places. I talked last week about the women potters in Bethlehem and the West Bank, the chalice and paten that we're going to use today were created by the women there. It's beautiful when you see it. Another group that we started working with was women from eastern Ukraine. They had all become refugees in Kiev after the Russian invasion more than 3 years ago. And we started and we wanted, so Thistle Farms does all kinds of home, bath, and body care products, and we started a group called Love Rises, which is a radical kind of hopeful phrase, imaginative phrase when you're in war. And it's a group of women. They were former math teachers, storekeepers, worked in gas plants in the east. Everybody lost everything. Millions of people fled. They were in Kiev. And Marina is the head of it. And we started knitting. And the women talked about knitting as this way to remember that they are not just refugees. I'm not just a refugee. I can offer this message that we're going to keep going. We're going to keep hoping and imagining and share this message through these knitted blankets with the world. And what Marina, the head of it, says is, you'd be surprised that you can survive on hope and war. As long as you can keep that imagination. And she's won awards. She's won an award by President Zelensky for her efforts. With the profits they make, they've made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kits. K-I-T-S. If you need a translation of this from my accent later, kits for kids so they can go to school even when they're in the bunkers. And L'Oreal picked up their products. I mean, it's done very, very well. They're beautiful. They make these now crocheted baskets that are stunning, thick, fibrous baskets. Anyway, she emailed me last month. It was July 4th. And, you know, we were celebrating with fireworks. And that night, it was one of the worst nights of bombing in Kiev. And I remember thinking about that, thinking like, I'm sitting here, they've just gone through a horrible night, and we're just watching and listening to these sounds, and so I could imagine it, do you know? I could imagine what that must feel like a little bit, a glimpse. And she emailed me the next morning, and she said that July 4th was one of her worst nights, and that she had lost hope. And even though it was a horrible night of bombing, she didn't go down to the bunker. She couldn't imagine it getting any better. Years. And if you knew her, you would know what a hopeful person she is and how horrible that is to hear. That she has lost, like everybody else, friends and neighbors, her partner. And then she said, she wrote the next morning, and in that she said, "But then I remembered y'all haven't given up on us. You've stayed by us. We have supported them consistently every month, the whole time of the invasion, and we're not going to stop." And she said, and then I remembered the quote from Martin Luther King, that the arc of justice is long, but it bends towards justice. The arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice. And I wrote her back, and I was like, "Marina, like, that is what we're called to do, is remind each other to hope, to imagine this city, this beloved city of love with God, when we lose the sight of that." And I said, and what I love about that quote you sent was it wasn't started by Martin Luther King. It was said 100 years earlier. 100 years earlier by an abolitionist pastor. And what Pastor Theodore Parker wrote was, "I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one. My eye reaches but little ways. I cannot calculate the curve and complete the figure by experience of sight. I can divine it only by conscience. And from what I see, I am sure it bends towards justice." To imagine the things that we cannot see, that together, if we continue to break this bread and drink this wine and pray, that we can believe and see and live into this beautiful kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.